The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
But Saoirse Handy is with me, the writer for The Independent, as is Dr. Maura Finn, a GP with Centric Health, and Eleanor Hayward, who's the health editor at The Times. And Eleanor, I might start with you on this story, because this is a quirk of the algorithm that I have not been exposed to. The algorithm obviously knows me well. But apparently, more and more younger people are being shared messages about birth control that are suggesting it ruins lives, it causes depression, it's carcinogenic. In other words, it will give you cancer. It is effectively this generation's cigarettes. And as a consequence, certainly anecdotally, the suggestions that it means younger people are not using contraceptive. Tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, so I spoke to quite a few doctors working in contraception, and they said that they've really noticed a trend of younger women coming into the clinics saying they don't trust hormones, they don't want hormones in their body. And they're sort of getting bombarded with videos on Instagram and TikTok saying that the pill, which is obviously really widely used just a decade or so ago, has really dangerous side effects and they don't want to take it anymore.
And do we know, is it possible to quantify how popular these videos are or how they're spreading?
Yeah, I think they're really popular. I mean, I'm 31, so kind of prime demographic for these, and I certainly see them quite a lot on my social media. There's also really interesting stats for NHS data in England showing that the proportion of women using the pill as their main form of contraception has almost halved in the past decade. And so it is something that's definitely having an effect.
And I guess the concern is, I mean, certainly the younger you go within that cohort, much as it may pain you and me to admit this, Eleanor, they're not necessarily listening to talk radio in the afternoon or reading the Times. They're getting all of their information from these platforms.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the doctors I've spoke to have said it's really important to meet women where they are. And often for good reason, women don't necessarily trust the medical establishment's information because historically we've been really badly served by medical research. So I think it's important that there's kind of online good information available to tackle this sort of social media misinformation.
Well, our own reporter here in News Talk, Sarah Madden, has been asking young people on the street why they might not be using contraception or condoms.
No, I'm not on anything.
I'm not on any contraception.
And why is that? There's a lot of like rumors that makes you fatter, and I think girls are really scared of it nowadays.
Yeah, or like mood swings and like even being like depressed or like having really bad anxiety with it and stuff like that. So yeah.
I was on the bar. I did find that it actually affected my mental health, my mood, my weight gain and things like that. So I came off it.
I said to her I didn't really want her on the pill just because it changes your mood and stuff. I think it's just natural to have your period, you know?
Yeah.
For the pill, like, it's just, I don't think doing what we want, and it's, like, also, like, hindering our sexual experiences as well. Like, I think it can kind of, like, put a lot of pressure on women to be responsible for, like, taking hold of contraception.
And as a woman, can you rely on a guy? Are guys good about bringing condoms and things?
I think it's up to the girls a bit. Like, a lot of men don't like using condoms, like, kind of known.
Really?
Yeah, for a few men to be like, oh, like, it's not as good.
Like, I think, like, a lot of men would say, like, oh, like, it doesn't feel the same and this, that and the other.
Dare I say it? It's like, it ruins the enjoyment or the experience and things like that.
So there might be an assumption that the girl is using long-term contraception on the part of the guy sometimes. Sometimes it's awkward to bring up, and if it's not brought up, then that is assumed.
No guys bring it up and then the girl asks, you know?
Yeah.
The girl has to ask if they're going to use a condom, like, or else the boy won't say anything about it.
And then there's other things that's available to you, like the morning after pill.
People are relying on that a lot more, and that's why they're not using contraception as well.
And are young people not worried about the risks?
No. Not really.
So far so good?
Yes.
So far so good anyway.
Did you get a decent sex education in school? Can you remember?
No, I got almost nothing in school.
Oh.
And almost nothing even from like parents and everything as well. I think it's just like word of mouth.
It's online basically. You get all your information from online now. Like.
Do you mean social media? Do you mean porn?
Both, honestly.
I think the biggest thing was just with friends, like talking with friends about like their own experiences.
I'm sure no misinformation there.
Yeah, no, not at all. Absolutely not at all.
Yeah, I think schools should probably do more. I was in a Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, I think, 1 hour of sex education. We were 12 for my entire life. That's all I've had.
Do you think that's enough?
No. No.
That was our own Sarah Madden speaking to people on the streets of the capital. Saoirse Hanley, I mentioned, is with me. Saoirse, did you find that refreshingly honest?
I'm so scared. I was ready to be like, this is actually fine, guys. Don't worry about it. Now I think we should be worrying about it. That was an illuminating listen, I think.
What was particularly illuminating?
Well, I think the fact that the women should be the ones bringing up the contraception, if not, it won't be brought up, is an absolute farce. And anyone who thinks that should definitely take a long, hard look at themselves. But I think most surprising, like for me, my TikTok algorithm, say, has actually bounced so far back the other way that I get so much content about how we shouldn't be giving up contraception. So it's kind of an awareness that people are, and that there is a lot of kind of scaremongering about it online. There is a lot of like misinformation that goes around, and it kind of has bounced back to me of just being presented with videos about why people are still liking it, or why, you know, it works for some. I think the problem with contraception, at least for most women, is that it sometimes, you know, there really is no one size fits all. Like there is no one type of contraception that works for me that's going to work for, you know, my sister or for my friend. It can be very different. Some people can really suit hormonal contraception, other people really can't. And there's no way to kind of like draw a blanket statement about that. So you can see why some of the kind of misinformation comes out.
I'm sorry, Saoirse, says one listener getting in touch. This is simply reality. Men wait for the women to bring it up, and then if not, they literally plough on.
Well, this is the thing that really bothers me when we get talking about like things like abortion access and all of this, that it, you know, kind of becomes the like woman's problem when obviously there was two people involved and two people should be taking responsibility.
But you know that, sorry, the free contraception scheme, is the implicit in that is that it's the woman's issue, isn't it? It's for women.
Well, obviously, it's majority women that are going to be availing of it. And, you know, that is the case, certainly when it comes to things like, you know, the pill or the bar or IUDs, whether they're copper or hormonal, like only the woman involved in that relationship is going to be the one who is getting those things. But any good partner that they're sleeping with should also be involved in the process, whether it's, you know, supporting them in that decision or whether it's giving them an ear to talk about it or, I suppose, exploring their options. Because, yeah, there is this kind of, I suppose there is this idea culturally that men don't like condoms or they'd prefer not to use them or whatever it is, but it's not really a good enough excuse given all of the options that are there and all of the different versions that are on the shelf that they should be perusing also.
Dr. Maura Finn, I mentioned, is with us as well, a GP with Centric Health. Can I just ask about some of the concerns that are raised, first of all, in those TikTok videos we mentioned right at the outset? I mean, is it that these things are completely made up or that they are possible side effects a lot of the time, but what happens is then they just get amplified beyond all recognition on TikTok?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. Because there's so much in this that I want to talk about. That Vox Pop is terrifying, but back to the TikTok and Instagram stuff, this is all based on, you know, there is, you know, contraception is difficult. It's a difficult area. It is always the woman's responsibility, unfortunately, and that is so wrong. And the contraceptive free scheme, which is very progressive and it's an excellent scheme in Ireland, is only targeted to women, which leads women and men to think that they're the ones fully responsible, which is not the case. And I'm horrified that men don't take more responsibility for the reproductive health of both of the partners. But the TikTok stuff is based on, you know, hormones can cause side effects. We know this. So estrogen can make your boobs sore, can make you a little bit bloated. So can progesterone. Progesterone, like some people really cannot tolerate progesterone at all. It makes them really moody and really bloated and gives them acne. And so often we have to kind of try several different options to find the right one. And I think that this generation are beginning to believe, maybe with good reason in some cases, that it's the convenient thing to just throw somebody on the pill, put them on the pill. It's the lazy, one-dimensional way of looking at contraceptive needs. But in fact, we often actually use the pill because the woman might have kind of difficult periods, painful periods or heavy periods. And the pill is a good way of managing that as well. But you can try one and then try a different type of progesterone or try progesterone only or try a long-acting contraceptive that doesn't have hormone in it. The problem is, though, those long-acting ones can be very difficult for especially young women. It's a procedure. It's a difficult procedure and painful for them. So there's no perfect situation. And the other, my big issue is that why aren't the pharma companies coming up with better options, more options? Because as a medic, I absolutely, and a mother of two young girls, I really believe that we need better options for this, but we need better education that men do not learn about sex from porn.
Well, let me ask you about that then, about some of those attitudes that we heard. I want to isolate and play again that young fella who said, I told her to get off the pill because it would make her moody. I mean, in a way, I kind of think fair play to him for saying it into the microphone. You know, he said the quiet part out loud.
But he thought he was being really woke and being aware of her moods as opposed to the fact that he should be responsible.
I know, but you know, I thought Eleanor made a really good point from the Times, Eleanor Haywood, when she said you've got to speak to young people, kind of you know, on the platforms that they're on, and reach them at the level that they're at. You know, which I mean, kind of sounds like I'm undermining the conversation maybe we're having here. But in that context, Maura, how do you go about, or how important is it to change some of those attitudes we heard?
You see, this is it. I don't know. I can't do Instagram. I'm useless at that kind of stuff. But, you know, there are people, there are medics who actually kind of do discuss this stuff and challenge the convenient, easy narrative that the person who wants to kind of appear to be the person who's kind of overcome the medical oppressive industry that we are. Like, nobody's trying to do any harm here, but we're just trying to do what we can with the limited resources we have. But I think school, I think education is the key. And I say this repeatedly to people, like, you know, we need to educate young women about their hormones, about their menstrual health. I'm appalled at how little they know about it, even though they feel that they're informed. And we also absolutely need to inform young men about every aspect of reproductive health, not just about, you know, sex and consent and condoms and all the rest, but also around STIs and how do you protect your own health in the future. You know, and it's not about religious schools or not. It's just not there. It's not, you know, even in the most progressive school and even in the most progressive kids that I come across, they still don't understand the basics. They think they do. And they're informed through social media on a very kind of superficial level that they feel that they understand. And they think they've kind of understand better than I'd be considered kind of the conservative kind of medic. But in fact, they don't. They're actually gone off in the wrong direction. They're not protecting their own long-term health. And that really, really concerns me.
Saoirse, as the person in this conversation who was most recently in school, what education did you get?
I was trying to think about this the last couple of days, and I don't remember a huge amount aside from I remember having a health class, definitely, where they split up the boys and the girls in my year. And we definitely had lessons about consent. I think we were shown that video about the cup of tea in reference to consent that probably every young person in Ireland has seen in school. But my sister's in the same school. She just finished in the same school and she's exactly 10 years behind me. And I asked her some of the same questions, like, what class did you have? She had the same class as me, but a different teacher. And some of her teaching was quite different. She didn't really get the same input. Or I remember thinking back, because I remember having a teacher for that class that was talking about things like, you know, sex, not just between men and women, between men and other men or women and other women. And that, like, that was 2013, 14. And it was so progressive even then that we were like so amazed that we had a teacher who was being so open with us. But I think that was a rarity. I think a lot of people didn't have that experience.
Saoirse Handley, writer for The Independent, Dr. Maura Finn, GP with Centric Health, and Eleanor Haywood, who's the health editor with The Times. Thank you all very, very much. We're going to have to play that Vox Pop, I think, again. Sarah Madden speaking to people on the street. It was illuminating, to say the least.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.